The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. CNS Infections is presented by Dr. David Convolucci.
This is a sort of a repeat of that other table I showed you with numbers put in there. If there's anything about CNS infections, memorize this, because that's how it's going to show up in the board. A patient presents with blah, blah, blah. Their LP shows blank. They're going to show something like this, and then you have to figure out what to do. These are all the indications for doing a CT before an LP. Or you could flip that around for not doing a CT when you do an LP if they don't have these indications. What's the highest mortality? I mentioned earlier, I gave misinformation. Last year, I said meningitis and it's strep pneumo. We talked about this to some degree earlier, so I won't beat this to death, but terminal complement deficiency, meningococcus is the only meningitis commonly that is associated with a rash. There's a gram-negative diplococci. Why are they gram-negative? Because they match the red background. The rash is on the top right that you see with meningococcus. And on the bottom is what you don't ever want to see, is a patient dying of this infection. Young adults, military recruits, smokers in particular, travelers to the Middle East, including to the Hajj. I suppose that if I ask a question, it might be about prophylaxis. Sorry about the format here a little bit. I did this on a Mac, and this is what PowerPoint does to me. Pneumococcal meningitis, most common bacterial agent of meningitis in adults. Anytime you have pneumococcus in the blood of an otherwise healthy adult, for whatever reason, otherwise healthy, think HIV. That's not only a test question, that's real. You don't get rash with this, but you can get purpura fulminans. And this is the patient, well, I'll come to that in a second, but extremes of age, CSF leaks. If you have a second case of pneumococcal meningitis in a patient, they have a CSF leak. You may not know where it is, but that's what they have. Alcoholism, splenectomy. Treatment is penicillin if it's highly susceptible, but empiric treatment for pneumococcal meningitis always includes vancomycin these days. And I would say always includes steroids, and the steroids always have to be given at the time of antibiotics or before. And my test question would revolve around those issues. Listeria, I talked about a bit earlier. Anyone with cell-mediated immunosuppression, pregnancy, Hodgkin's disease, old. What's the treatment? Ampicillin. So depending on the patient's age, the empiric treatment is going to be for pneumococcus and or listeria. If they're elderly, you have to include listeria. You have to include ampicillin. That is not adequate for pneumococcus until you know what these susceptibilities are. Cryptococcal meningitis. I've actually seen it in non-HIV patients, but probably whoever writes the question probably is going to be talking about an HIV patient. But one of the things they talk about is they don't talk about it as an HIV patient. In terms of test questions, they talk about it as T cell deficiency. shunt associated meningitis are all those skin flora that normally the point of the test question is don't blow them off. If they have a shunt, any of these could be the causative agent. Gram negatives, neurosurgery, prior antibiotics. People with CSF leaks, well-intentioned docs have put them on long-term prophylaxis against pneumococcus. So what do they get? Gram negatives. Recurrent meningitis. Most of us, I guess, talk about Mollerettes or Mollerae, depending on how you pronounce it, probably due to HSV2, although the others listed have been talked about. And if you want to act like you actually know more than the guy next to you, the allopathic physician at the computer next to you, just mention Vogt-Koyanagi-Harada syndrome. You don't have to know what it is. Just ask them if they thought about that in the differential. Aseptic meningitis. Well, it's not all viral. It's just those things that you can't grow out easily. Usually viral. Could be a primary HIV infection. The acute retroviral syndrome, which I'll talk about a little later. Or primary genital herpes often presents as an aseptic meningitis. And if you culture the spinal fluid, you might actually get HSV2 out of those patients. But also non-infectious medications. The one I've seen the most has been Bactrim. But NSAIDs have been associated with this, as are the others listed. I mentioned the acute retroviral syndrome. That is, a patient who is acutely infected with HIV can present as acute mono, which is the common presentation, or a nonspecific, quote, viral illness, because it is, or as an acute aseptic meningitis. All the things listed can be part or none of that presentation, but they can also present as an acute aseptic meningitis. And the test for HIV may be negative at that point. West Nile. West Nile was a big, big deal a few years ago. Now it's just sort of out there. But if I were to write test questions, I might throw in this part about they can present as an acute flaccid paralysis or a polio-like syndrome. West Nile in young kids and middle-aged adults is a pretty benign disease. But in the elderly, this can be very, very severe, and they don't necessarily get better. Or if they get better, it may take a long, long time. So this is one of those aseptic meningitides that everyone looks for now, at least in the summer and fall, because it's out there. And the first case I ever diagnosed with West Nile virus, every day I'd walk out of the room and I'd say, I could swear this is West Nile. I don't even remember why I was thinking that. And this happened for 4 or 5 days, and for 4 or 5 days, the wife said absolutely no mosquito exposure at all. And then after about a week, she recalled that, well, actually, he was in a convertible with the top down out in the woods looking for property. And it was the same county where the first case of West Nile in birds was reported in Michigan that year. So take a history, I guess, on multiple occasions. Chronic meningitis, TB, fungal, Lyme, syphilis. HSV encephalitis classically is a patient that presents with bizarre behavior, has a seizure, and the LP has a hemorrhagic component to it. So it's sort of a viral meningitis LP with red blood cells. That's the classic. It turns out that most HSV encephalitis is not hemorrhagic, at least not with the first LP. So if I'm going by the classic textbook, my presentation in the test is going to have RBCs in that spinal fluid. Or I'm going to try to prove to you somehow in that test question that that's nice, but that's not usually the case. So it'll be some sort of variation on that. How the diagnosis? PCR. the cultures themselves are virtually always negative for herpes encephalitis. And you would not want to be this patient because this is a necrotizing encephalitis, and so what's gone is gone. Brain abscess depends on, you might get these in positive blood cultures and then the patient presents with something in their brain. All of these are somewhat commonly associated with brain abscess. And then there's the brain-lung syndromes. They present with something in the brain and the lung. This is your differential. Epidural abscess. You can actually make this diagnosis over the phone. There's two diagnoses you can make, not with certainty, but a good guess, and that is a patient that presents with fever and back pain is vertebral osteomyelitis till proven otherwise. A patient with fever, back pain, and a neurologic deficit is an epidural abscess till proven otherwise. So if you have the right person on the other end of the phone, you can actually make that call there. Staph aureus is the most common. And at surgery, they actually go in to drain this abscess, and they actually find a lot of granulation tissue, and they may not find a lot of pus. But the fever, back pain, neurologic deficit, that's sort of cool when you can make that call without having to come in. Primary amoebic meningoencephalitis, Naegleria fowleri, swimming in warm, fresh water. Migration, it's believed the amoeba migrates up the olfactory nerve to the brain. You may complain of a change in a taste or smell before becoming obtunded, and you're pretty much toast. This is close to 100% fatal. This is not a good diagnosis. You do not want to go diving, for instance, in areas where this has been found, and it was found in a water park. I don't remember where. That was a little scary. Prion disease. This is used to be called slow virus. The transmissible agent is a prion, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Most of you know about the 14-3-3. The experts, not me, claim that's a lousy test. But having said that, if you were writing the question, it might be, what test would you order? And it might be the 14-3-3. And there's no really known effective treatment. We have seen it with some of the MS drugs. And we've watched patients aware of what's happening to them. And we can't do anything about it. And this is virtually 100% fatal. Kuru is where the... somewhere in Africa, I'm not sure. Part of the tradition is eating the brains of your relatives. And in doing so, acquiring this infection. Focal CNS disease. I won't spend a lot of time on this because I'll talk about it a little bit more with HIV. But toxo, lymphoma, look at the serologies, the tests you might order. So if it were lymphoma, you'd order a test for EBV via PCR. If it were for progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy, you'd order PCR for JC virus. And I'll go into that later. I talked about botulism. Polio, if you saw a case of polio, about the only polio that's out there to some degree, at least in adults and in other countries, would be a mutant strain of the oral vaccine, which is why the goal is to get rid of the oral vaccine and use strictly killed polio vaccine by injection. Rabies, I talked about that earlier, so I won't go into that, other than if I were to ask you, where does rabies come from in this country? It would be the travelers I told you about that you did not protect, or that was exposed to silver-haired bats. And because they can actually fingerprint back where these rabies come from, whether they come from skunks or bats or whatever. And silver-haired bats are the most common source in this country, rare as it is, and the exposure is often unknown, unrecognized, trivial.